Well, we're going to jump around a little bit to a few different passages this morning. But if you want a place to open your Bible to, open it please to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And this morning we are going to take a short break from our series through 2 Timothy so that we can look at a topic that concerns fathers. And of course, we're doing this special for Father's Day. And through several passages of Scripture, I want to look at a father's top 10 biblical responsibilities. Now, these things that we're going to look at this morning are critical things for men to understand. Although I would encourage everybody to listen. Listen carefully, because while what I'm going to look at, I want to point directly at men and dads. Young men, you will probably be a father one day, okay? Young ladies, you may have a husband that will be a father one day. Those of us that are perhaps beyond the actual parenting stage, you will still have fathers and mothers looking to you as an example, all right? This does pertain to all of us in some form or another. Some years ago, a former American astronaut took the position of president over a major airline. And he was determined to make that airline service the very best in the industry. One day, however, as the new president was walking through a particular department, he noticed an employee kicked back at a desk with his feet up on it, eating his lunch, while the phone on the desk just rang and rang and rang. And the new president finally said to the employee, he says, "Aren't you going to answer that?" And the new employee, obviously not recognizing his new boss, said, "Oh, this isn't my department. I'm over in maintenance." To which the new president said, "Not anymore, you're not." Sadly, this is a similar attitude that is carried over into parenting. In particular, the father's responsibility toward his family. Many are missing the big picture. They think that certain areas are not their responsibility. Many men have passed the responsibility of raising children onto the mother alone. Or even worse yet, they've passed it on to the school system. Or worse yet, they've passed it on to daycare or even onto television sets. We spend little, if any, time in meaningful conversation and instruction with our families and children. And this generation in particular, and I'm talking about my generation and those younger, use an excuse, even if just in their own mind, "This is how my parents did it. I'm just following suit." Well, this morning I want to look at the top 10 responsibilities that a father should exemplify from a biblical standpoint, so that we, as dads, those of us who can encourage dads, okay, may be a godly example. These top 10 responsibilities, I'll just tell you, are not necessarily in any particular order. I've grouped them into three different categories. They're all important. They're all important. But the first four fall into the category of a love. A love. A father is responsible to exemplify love. And in Matthew chapter 22, we read this. In fact, just go down to verse 36. Matthew 22, 36. We find number one, okay, here's number one. I'm going to list 10 things. Number one is this: he must exemplify a love for the Lord. a love for the Lord. And let's read verses 36 and 37 of Matthew 22. It says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Jesus here gives the greatest commandment. In other words, there is nothing on the face of the planet that is more important than what he is saying right here. There's nothing more important for a man to do. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Everything else comes after this. Love for the Lord is the most critical, because without a love for the Lord, all other love will fall short. As I have counseled couples preparing to marry, probably the most important thing that I show them is a love triangle. And it's not the kind of love triangle that you might find in a soap opera, okay? This love triangle has God at the top, all right? And as each believer is united to God through salvation, as they become married, they also become united to one another. So you got God at the top angle, husband and wife at the two bottom angles. And what I show them is this. While they're united to one another in marriage, the closer that they come to grow to God, the closer they become to one another. And on the flip side of that coin, the further they drift from God, the further they're going to drift from one another. Okay? That's a love triangle. So God's Son said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." And these three items, heart, soul, and mind, really represent our person. They represent who we are. The heart represents our sense of being, our intellect, really. This is how we know that we are. It is our innermost being, and in expressing our love for the Lord with all our heart, we are giving Him our whole self. Our whole self, but that's only part of our person. The soul represents our emotion. Our soul is why we can express our love for the Lord. And then the mind represents our will. The mind corresponds with what is often translated. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it corresponds with the strength or the might, okay? And in loving the Lord with all of our mind, we are desiring with all we can muster up, which isn't much, but with all we can muster up to make our will conformed to God's will. The heart, the soul, and the mind. The three together make up our person. In fact, this, by the way, is how we were created in God's image. God has intellect, emotion, and will. That's why He loves us, and He created us with an intellect, emotion, and will so that we could love Him back. And concerning the dad's responsibility, I have to point out that in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, which gives us the origin of this command that I just read in Matthew 22, listen to what Deuteronomy 6 and 7, Nate read this, but listen to what follows the command to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. He says this, "And these words which I command to you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." A father, must exemplify his love for the Lord in everything that he does in every moment of the day. So to teach his children to do the same. So first of all, number one on our list here is a father must exemplify a love for the Lord. Number two, a father must exemplify a love for his brother. If you're still in Matthew chapter 22, look down at verse 39. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is like the first. He says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In John 13:34, Jesus put it this way, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. And in Philippians 2:3, we read this, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Now this is specifically speaking of siblings in the faith, okay? Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have trusted in God's salvation from sin. How do we exemplify a love for our brother? Well, two steps. Number one, by humbling ourselves. By humbling ourselves. In the same way that Christ loved us, this is how we should love one another. It is putting the needs of others before the needs of ourselves. We live in a world that is very contrary to that. We live in a world of self-help and self-worth, self-awareness, self-preservation, self-confidence, self-determination, self-will, and self-esteem. We must humble ourselves. Secondly, we do it by esteeming others. That is, lifting others up. This means that we are to treat others really with as great a sense of awareness as we treat ourselves. When we are hungry, we eat. When we have a need, we figure out a way to fill it. But are we that sensitive to the needs of our neighbors and brothers? A father needs to exemplify that kind of love for his brother. In John 15:13, Jesus said this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. A father must exemplify a love for his brother. Thirdly, number three, a father must exemplify a love for his family. And that should go without saying. That should be natural. But then I read about the pastor from Alabama who killed his own wife in 2004 and stuck her in a freezer and kept her there for 4 years until she was discovered. Why would someone do such a thing to his wife? Because she caught him sexually abusing their daughter. So I have to say the words, fathers, love your family. How? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, we read this, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Christ gave his own life for the sake of the church. God came to earth, lived a perfect, sinless life, was rejected by the very people he came to save, but offered them salvation anyway. Offered them salvation from sin anyway through his own death on the cross. Jesus put us first. He put us first. And then also, we can exemplify this. We can love our children by instructing them. Instructing them in the love of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Again, everything that we do as dads must be done for that godly, that God-glorifying example to our children, to our families. Why is it that we can be the absolute cruelest to the ones we love the most? I'd be willing to admit to you this morning that Janine and I have had, how can I put it, more intense than normal discussions from time to time, okay? But I got to tell you, I have had the phone ring in the middle of one of these discussions. And right in the middle of, I'm right and you're wrong, I pick up the phone and say, hello? Oh, how nice to hear from you. A complete stranger, friend, or acquaintance gets a kinder, gentler voice than my own wife. And that is not a good example for my children. A father must exemplify a love for his family. Number four on our list, a father must exemplify a love for the lost. Luke 5:32, Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, there is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We as fathers need to follow that example so that our kids will grow up hating sin but loving the sinner. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He didn't love the world system. He had a passion and a love to reach out to the lost of this world and save them from the penalty of their sin. We also need to hate sin and love the sinner and lead them to salvation. These four items under our love heading, of these four items, love for the Lord is obviously the most critical. Because without a love for the Lord and an understanding of how much He loved us, we will fail in every other area. Fathers, we must exemplify a love for the Lord, a love for our family, a love for our neighbor, and a love for the lost. The second group we're going to look at pertains to a leadership. And if you would, turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to review some verses that we looked at not that long ago. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And our account will go a bit quicker from here. A father is responsible to exemplify leadership. I read a book quite a few years ago that talked about the breakdown of leadership by men in this country. He talked about the women's liberation movement and how women were leaving the home and going into the workforce. And he actually attributed much of this to the hippie generation of the 60s. And of course, the many events that led up to that. But that being kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. But he said he believed that the reason that women left the home and went after jobs and careers was less for liberation purposes and more out of necessity. Out of necessity. Women became leaders because men quit leading. They quit leading. Too many men became lazy. They gave up their fatherly and husband responsibilities, and someone was forced to pick up the ball and run with it. And women did. Women did. They became the leaders of the family. But I got to tell you, men, fathers, we have been called by God to take that burden. We've been given that responsibility. Number five on our list is he must lead in the home. He must lead, and the father must lead in the home. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, it says this. It says he must be one who rules his own house well, having his children in all submission and reverence. How does he do that? He's the protector. He's the provider. He is the spiritual leader of the home, not a dictator. He leads as Christ leads the church in love, with humility, and to the glory of God. The first place that our wife and children should go for spiritual and life counsel after God is to Dad. which means we'd better be prepared to give an accurate biblical answer. You guys doing all right out there? Okay. Because this was kind of painful for me to hear. A father must be one who rules his own house well. We should be men that are respected leaders in the home because we are setting a godly example. Number six, he must lead in the church. Verse 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" Leadership starts in the home. It starts in the home, but should expand to the church family. And I pray that each of us become a beacon of light in our home church, in our local church, so that brothers and sisters in Christ can come for us and would come to us for encouragement and counsel. He must lead in the church. Number seven, he must lead in the community. Verse 7 of chapter 3 here says, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside." Now, obviously, these qualities, every one of them can apply to every Christian. Here they are, expressly for men, and that's who we're talking to this morning. But leadership, again, today for men and dads, okay, that's what this is for. That's who I'm speaking to today. It's for men and dads, okay? And as I'm going through this, I'm thinking to myself, and you guys came here thinking you were going to be honored this morning for for Father's Day. Well, God has honored us with a responsibility, and we must honor Him by fulfilling it. Men and fathers, we must set a standard of godliness that is so evident that the world will take note and be convicted of their sin. They'll be convicted of the righteousness of God and the judgment that will follow if they don't follow our lead. Leaders, leading our family, leading the lost to Christ will not be accomplished if we blend in so well to the world that others can't see the difference. I know I've shared this story with you before, but it was a wake-up call for me, so I'm going to share it with you again this morning. It was just a few years after I became a Christian. I'd been working in a factory, and I had some non-believing friends, one in particular who knew that I called myself a Christian. He knew that I'd recently become a Christian. And he said to me one day, he said this, he said, "Craig, you're a cool Christian." And that hit me like a ton of bricks. That impacted me because I knew what he really meant by that. What he was really saying was, I have known other Christians that live the Word of God. They convicted me. They convicted me of my sin through the standard that they were living by. But Craig, you're not like them. You're just like me. You're cool. And again, I tell you, that hit me like a ton of bricks, because all of a sudden, I realized that I was not being a godly leader in my community. Men and fathers, we must be a noticeable godly example in the world. The last three of this top ten are really the reasons for the first seven. All right? All of the above are so that we can leave a legacy. To leave a legacy. Specifically, a legacy for our children, a legacy for our brothers in Christ, and a legacy to the glory of God. A father is responsible, number eight, to leave a godly legacy for his children. It's interesting to me just how much we resemble our parents. Oftentimes physically and definitely in personality. And it's not so much the things that they told us that shaped our life. It's the things that they did. It was the decisions that they made in times of crisis. I'm sure we've all heard the saying, the way you walk speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. While both talk and walk are needed, our example, our walk will leave a greater impact than our words ever will. And therefore, the things that we teach must be matched by our actions. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This walk of ours, whether it is good or bad, is the legacy that we are leaving our children. Leave a godly one. So number 8 is leave a godly legacy for our children. Number 9, leave a godly legacy for our brothers. Be such an example today that other Christians will follow us tomorrow. In Philippians 3:17, Paul said this, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. You and I, who have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, are the legacy of those men and women throughout the past 2,000 years of history. Those Christians who went before us. We heard the gospel because of their faithful example. How many generations of Christians will our lives impact? Number 10 on our list is to leave a godly legacy for the Lord. In Psalm 45:17, it says this, I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the people shall praise you forever and ever. And in Psalm 79:13, it says, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. The glorification of God is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. All Christian responsibility points towards God's glorification. And it will be impossible to leave a godly legacy if God's glory is not our focus. As fathers, we have a responsibility to exemplify God's love. We have a responsibility to exemplify godly leadership. And we have a responsibility to leave a legacy that will glorify God for generations to come. I heard a story about a pastor of a small church who also worked a part-time job mixing livestock feed to supplement his income. And each day he would come home from work, his two boys, ages 2 and 3, would look at him, smile, and say, boy, Dad, you sure are dusty. And he would say, yeah, I sure am, and he would go get cleaned up. And he didn't think too much about it until one day he was washing the car and he saw his oldest son doing something very strange. He was out in the gravel, picking up rocks and gravel, and he was taking them and he was rubbing them on his pants. And he asked his son, what in the world are you doing? And he says, I want to be dusty just like you, Dad. And he realized at that moment, that if a child would look up to him, look up to his father for being dusty and want to copy that, a child could look up to his father and follow him in anything. The question is, regardless of where we are in life today or who we are, man, woman, child, what are we passing on? What are we passing on? And what we pass on, how will that affect future generations? I pray that it's an example of love, an example of leadership, and a godly legacy. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for the perfect example that you have set for us. Lord, we understand that there is no way within ourselves that we can accomplish that standard in this lifetime. But Lord, you have supplied us with the power through your Spirit to give us progress. And Father God, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for that example that we can look to and through the power of your Spirit strive for. And Lord, I pray that whether we are lying down, whether we are raised up, whether we are walking down the road, whatever we are doing, Father God, that we would exemplify these things, not only to our families, not only to our children, but to the world around us. Lord, be our helper. In Christ's name, I pray.